Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English. This holiday is fast approaching, and the spirit of giving is in the air. And giving is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Mary Shelley's debut fiction novel, Dying to Give, looks at giving one of the most precious gifts you can give, life through organ donation. Not only is his book centered around the drama of loss, but it looks at the hope that such a donation offers, because in order to receive, often someone must die. I probably shouldn't say must die, but death happens, and sometimes there's an opportunity to give. Not only will we talk about his amazing emotional and drama-filled novel, we will talk about how this author is making donations from the sale of the book. So please welcome author Mary Shelley. Welcome, Mary.
Well, thank you, Sheila. I'm so pleased to be here with you this afternoon.
Now, Mary, I want to talk about the book, but before we dive into the story, I want to start out talking about the hope that organ donation offers and why you decided this topic was important enough to center a novel around. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Quite simply, as you noted, organ donation offers the hope of life in the sense that when someone is critically ill and has only a short time to live, when they receive an organ or tissue, that transplant literally saves their life. So there's a tremendous hope and excitement of life-saving. And thousands upon thousands of people worldwide, it's not just the United States, worldwide, wait each day with the hope that an organ will become available for them. And for some, the dream comes true. They receive an organ and their life is revived, and they're ready to move on and do wonderful things. But for some, it never happens. And unfortunately, the biggest reason it never happens is the lack of donors. There just are not enough organs for the need. Live organ donation,
right,
as you're aware, I'm sure, does an awful lot to take some folks who are alive and can donate organs. But oftentimes, the donation of a heart or lungs and so on requires, as you noted, a death. And that is when people have to make a very, very difficult decision around the tragedy of a death.
Right.
You asked why I chose to center a novel around organ donation. Maybe a little story about how this whole thing came about. I was at a family picnic one Saturday a few years ago in San Diego, and the wife of my cousin came to me and said, "Let me tell you a story." And it was a story about her having to drive herself to the hospital to have a baby, which I thought was interesting. It happened to be a C-section. There was no emergency and so on. But my uncle's car had broken down, and he couldn't pick her up, so on, so on, so on. But being a writer, I said to myself, that's sort of an interesting story, but what if it was a mother having to drive herself to a hospital, not in San Diego, but in some horrible snowstorm in the middle of winter somewhere, and she didn't make it to the hospital. She had the baby in her car or a truck or whatever. And so I began to run with that little idea and wrote a little short story and passed it around a writer's group that I was part of at that time. They said, "Gary, well, that's a nice story and everything, but she wouldn't go. She wouldn't go to the hospital. She would call somebody. Somebody would come out to her house." And they had a valid point. So I began to ask, all right, what is it, why would a mother take that risk and drive to the hospital? And the thought came, what if another of her children, was injured in some manner, and she had to get to the hospital? She was the only one who could go. Would she go then? And I think the answer would be yes. And so I wrote that story and then asked the question, well, when she gets to the hospital and she has an injured child, then what? And for whatever reason, the concept of organ donation popped into my mind. And I said, I think I'll look at this a little bit and see what it is about. And I had signed up a long, long time ago to be an organ donor, if anybody wanted part of me. And So I began to research it, and the more I found, the more I was intrigued about the entire world of organ transplant and organ donation, the brave people who donate, and the fortunate people who are the recipients of these organs, and decided that that would be a real strong place to write a story, and that's how this sort of thing got started.
So I think that's interesting. And, you know, I would like to, you know, encourage our listeners that if you haven't signed up to be a donor, please give that some thought. My own little short story, I have a friend, her name is Megan, and she actually saw this call for help on Facebook. It was on Facebook. A young girl in her 20s living in Ohio, and she needed a kidney, and they didn't have a match for her. And they were asking anybody and everybody to please help save her life. She needed that kidney to save her life. Megan had never met her, had never heard of her, just saw that on Facebook. It had gotten shared around. And she contacted the family thinking, well, you know, I'll go see if I'm a match. I probably, you know, chances probably are that I'm not. But she really felt compelled looking at this, you know, young 20-something-year-old girl. And she was a match. I mean, it was just crazy, you know. It's like what are the chances?
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, she ended up donating a kidney, and now she and that young girl stay in touch all the time. But it was interesting to see a picture of this girl before she got the kidney and then after. I mean, it was like a different person. She just
yep.
looked so wonderful. And it really hit home to me that you could change somebody's entire life. You can save their life, you know, and give somebody a second chance. Who knows what this girl will go on and do with her life. Hopefully it's, you know, she's going to appreciate that gift and go on and do something wonderful. And it just, that story just really touched me. So when I found out about your book, I was really intrigued. Because I know that a lot of people think about it. I think people think about it, and I think there's some hesitancy sometimes. Or some people are like you and I. It's like, hey, if there's something you can use, please, just have it. I'm not going to be using it.
Yep.
So, you know, I was intrigued. And, you know, your book is just filled with so much emotion, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. You know, it's one of those books that really makes you stop and think. And, you know, it's one of those books that you know, challenges you to look at yourself as well. It's like, what would I do in that situation? And mm-hmm. and I love that. I love books that get you to kind of self-reflect. So you know, again, I hope people will be encouraged. We'll talk a little bit about the donations that are made from the sale of the book. So, you know, we're gonna talk a lot about hope and inspiration. And before we get too much further, I would like to let our listeners know I do have the live chat session open. So if you want to say hello or you want to ask a question, you can do that over there, or you can call us 646-200-4071 or toll free 877-497-5906. And, you know, call us up and we can talk. You can ask some questions. We'd love to hear from you. Now, after the live show, I know not everybody can make it to the live show, but after the live show, this will become a podcast, and it'll be on readersentertainment.com. So if you've got to hear this and you're inspired, you want to say something, share something, ask something, you'll still get an opportunity. Just go over to readersentertainment.com and you'll find the blog there. You'll be able to listen to the podcast, and then you can leave your comment there, and I will make sure if anything is left there that Gary is made aware of and can respond. I know many of our listeners like to check the guest's website while we're talking, and you can go to GaryBShelley.com and check that out while we're chatting. Now, Gary, let's talk about the story. It's
sure.
Like I said, it's emotional. It's an emotional roller coaster, inspirational as well. Can you tell our listeners more about the story, maybe like a brief overview or synopsis?
Sure, be happy to. As noted, the basis of the story is the injury sustained by the main character. The main character sustained, by the way, is Sarah, sustained by her six-year-old daughter, Amy, in a school bus accident. And Sarah and her family, with the medical and emotional ups and downs of that accident and that reality. And like most people, they're completely ill-prepared for what has happened. It's not something you sit around and say, gee, if there's an accident of this kind, what will we do and how will we proceed and what will, you know, and so on and so forth. It strikes out of the blue. And so being ill-prepared, there's not going to be a unanimity of how they deal with things. So if there's family disagreements, arguments, and so on, and eventually the pressure of what to do about organ donation and all of this pretty much overwhelms the family. So a lot of the story is about the family and how they deal with this sort of environment. But the reader, we get to see their issues and get to see how they handle them and how or even if they survive the experience. In addition,
right.
there's a number of other issues regarding the organ transplant industry that become important in this story. A couple examples of how doctors handle brain death, for example, how the people who are waiting and hoping for an organ conduct themselves, and how they react influences the donor, and of course views of others in society who get to watch and experience this drama unfold in the story, and to almost experience it themselves.
Right. Now, was this emotionally taxing to write? Like, how did you deal with some of the intense drama as you were writing it?
Answer the first question, yes. A number of years ago, I ran across a quote written by Robert Frost, and I wrote it down on a 3x5 card, and it sits right next to my printer on my desk. I can see it right now. And the quote is this, "No tears in the writer, no tears in the reader. No surprise in the writer, no surprise in the reader." And to me, that was marvelous writing education and knowledge. And I found out that it was really true during the writing of the story. Now, I've read this story probably 40 or 50 times. I don't know how many times. And certain portions of it many more times than that. I know it very well. Yet when I read some of the sections of it, I still am moved. And, you know, sort of, in fact, after I read those sections once in a while, my wife, Ann, can take one look at me and state, "You've been reading Snow Baby," which, as a side, that was the title of the original short story, and oftentimes we call it by that title. And what I found probably the most interesting was that the emotion that would hit me as I was writing the first draft. You know, it wasn't there yet. It was just coming out. And all of a sudden, the characters would do something or say something or feel something that I literally had no idea was coming. And those moments often were the most emotional I felt. Now, I know that sounds a little sort of crazy that these characters were doing something that I didn't know they were going to do. But I will quote, which is another card I have on my desk, I'll quote Truman Capote. And he says, "You can't blame a writer for what the characters say." And for those who have ever written fiction or dealt with it and stuff, they will notice that characters do and say things that the writer does not expect. In fact, there's one character that comes into the story named Jake, who 10 seconds before he appeared was not planned anywhere in the story, but he just appeared and all of a sudden became an interesting character in the story. So these characters take over the story, and to deal with it, I merely let the characters talk and act. I would record whatever they were feeling and how they were reacting and what they were saying and so on. And after it was over, I would sit back and sometimes dry the tears and say to myself, okay, what have I wrought? Or perhaps something a little bit less literary than that. And then, of course, I would have to re-experience that emotion each time I read it and changed it and read it and changed it, so on and so forth, back and forth. But I think finally what the characters felt in the story is what I felt when I read what they said and did. And there were tears and there were surprises, and I would add some laughter for the writer as well.
Now it looks like we have a caller. Let's see if we can get them in here on the studio with us. Hi, caller. You're on. What's your name?
Bill Osowski.
Hi. Did you have a question or a comment?
I had a question for Gary. I was just curious what was the inspiration for him to write the book.
Well, the inspiration, like I say, was based on the early story about the mother driving to the hospital. As I suggested to myself that perhaps organ donation might be something worthwhile to look at, the more I studied it, the more I found out about it, the more intrigued I became, particularly for the organ donors. I'm happy for the people who receive the transplants. I mean, to me, organ donation and transplant is the single biggest miracle in medicine that there is. And the thing that really touched me was the organ donors, the people who had to go through some kind of event that they were completely not prepared for, and that they had to now deal with this. And in at a time when it's the worst emotional thing they've ever gone through, their father or their brother or their child is in very serious condition and may die. How do they deal with that? Someone comes to them and says, would you consider donating their organ? And it is, if the story goes through some of this situation, but it's a horrible situation for people to have to be in. And I thought, like I said, most of the stories were about people who received transplants, but there was very little given to the people who, and their families who donate. And that intrigued me, Bill, and that's how I decided to spend the time to really try to learn as much as I could about organ donation and to try to bring this story to other people.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Caller, did you have any other questions?
No, looking forward to reading the book. It's on the top of my reading list over the holidays.
Great.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So, Gary, tell us a little bit more about the main characters in the book and how they kind of intersect with each other.
Okay. The main character, of course, is Sarah Neal, the mother of Amy, the 6-year-old who was injured. She has a fairly close family that she must deal with, her husband, Kirk, who chooses not to acknowledge her situation for the most part, who goes to work instead of staying at the hospital, and his way of dealing with it is to sort of check out. Her father, Amy's grandfather, who wants to sue whoever is responsible and find out who is to blame for the accident and that sort of thing. And he will change a little bit over the story, but that's who he starts out to be. And a mother who offers a hug and support, but little else. She's not a problem solver particularly. So that's the family that goes through this, and a lot of variety takes place within that family dynamic. How that changes and throughout the story is a crucial element, because when an accident, but as we talked about, and the pressure it puts on the family is really it's a direct, brutal attack on the family and how they deal with it and how they bring up a lot of the past history of the family and so on. Really is sort of an interesting story, and that's part of what happens within the family. But there are a number of others who interact with Sarah and others in the family within the story. A newspaper reporter, for example, who has a secret of her own that we eventually find out. Spoiler, not really. A caring nurse, and part of the problem, part of the difficulty with respect to organ donation is someone, sometime along the line, has to ask the donor family, will you donate? And that's a very difficult question to ask and to have it be done in a way that hopefully for those who are waiting for an organ is a positive response, but oftentimes it's a negative, don't you dare touch my father, my son, my whatever. And that has to be done just right, and there's a nurse in here that handles that process. The police officer who rescues Amy from the water and the bus accident initially has a son who needs a heart, and he is part of the story.
Right.
In some places, the organ transplant system is under attack from a variety of different sources, and there's a doctor who stands for the integrity of that system and defends it, and is important in terms of how this whole thing plays out. There's a man who wants to buy Amy's heart, for crying out loud, but that does happen more than anybody would like to admit. A mother who uses media to plead for Amy's liver to save her dying son. A reverend who brings his own morality to the table, and that character we talked about that just showed up in the scene was an old 92-year-old surgeon who happens to have some wisdom that he conveys during the story. So all these characters interact and influence Sarah and others during the 5 days. The story takes place in 5 days. It takes place over the 5 days of the story, from the accident to the actual the final decision by Sarah.
Now you're actually donating a portion of the sale of each book. Can you tell us about that and what inspired you to make such a decision to share your profits?
Sure. Donate Life America is an organization that registers organ donors. Their website is donatelife.net. Donate Life is one word, .net. I became familiar with them during my research for the story and realized that their mission literally is to save lives. They are very active in terms of trying to get people to register as donors. And they, along with a number of other organizations, have this very important role, because if people don't register to become donors, then the organs don't become available. So I thought maybe they could use a little help with that. And if I did that, then the novel, you know, Dying to Give, would have served a good purpose. As well as hopefully being entertaining and thought-provoking and so on, there was a little bit of help it could give to this organization and hopefully help save some lives. Now, interestingly, December 3rd, 2016, which is the date the book was released, was the 49th anniversary of the first heart transplant in South Africa. So the plan here for the 50th year of heart transplant, that is from December 3rd, 2016, to December 3rd, 2017, is to donate $2 for each ebook sold and $1 for each printed book sold to Donate Life America to try and help in this process. And I would really encourage everyone to visit their site. It's donatelife.net. My contact there is a wonderful lady named Casey News, who is terrific and has been very, very helpful in helping make this happen. And they are a terrific organization, does an awful lot of good, and I'm very happy to be helping out there.
You know, I think people would be challenged to not have at least known somebody that has donated or has received a transplant or has made the decision to donate should something happen to them. You know, it's one of those things that if you don't have a conversation about it, you know, maybe it doesn't come up. And so I really hope that, you know, people are inspired to at least have a conversation, you know, within their family, with their friends. Us having this conversation on the radio and, you know, the story that you have in the book, I think the more that people have that conversation and learn to be comfortable, you know, you were talking about how the people who are, you know, losing a loved one, how do you approach them and what is that like for them? I think that, you know, having those conversations in the family to begin with would really, you know, help everyone involved, you know, if you knew how you felt about donation ahead of time. Would you agree?
Yeah, and absolutely. And one of the things that you find, even though it's not supposed to happen this way, oftentimes it does, is that even if someone, say a 40-year-old man, has a donor card in his wallet, many times the hospital or the people who are going to be doing the taking of the organs, will come to the family and say, do you agree with this? Now, theoretically, if you sign up to be a donor, all bets are off and you're going to be a donor. But oftentimes the family is also consulted and they are asked, will you agree to this donation? And sometimes the family will say, no, don't touch them. And so it's, I think, important for people who decide to be a donor to let people around them, their family in particular, know this is what I want. And when
right.
if the time ever comes, this is what I want you to do and how I want you to handle this because it's very important to me. But I think that's you've got a great message there, Sheila, and I think it's really important for people to know.
Now, the book's out, and tell us a little bit about what kind of feedback that you're getting from readers so far.
I've got 3 5-star reviews on Amazon. That's very kind of people. 3 people have done that. I appreciate it very much. But I get a lot of I love it back. I'm not quite sure why that's the words that are used, but I've heard that a number of times. And also readers have said that they were moved, as we've talked about, and that reading the stories made them think, about the whole issue of organ donation. Most folks, like you mentioned, they know about organ donation, and they applaud the saving of lives. And then somewhere inside them, they say, thank goodness that's not me.
Right.
That's a very very natural human reaction. And I think it's something that all of us probably feel that way to some extent. But in the story, they step into the shoes of someone who's experiencing it. And they get to see it from perhaps a different viewpoint than they were expecting or used to. And I think maybe it becomes more real and more powerful to them. There's a woman
right.
named Brianna Dobie who does wonderful work on behalf of organ donations. She makes speeches all over the country and it's terrific work. And she made the statement that we need to change sympathy into empathy. The idea of feeling sorry for somebody else and the idea of I understand what they're feeling and I would feel that too, to help promote organ donation. I think maybe that's a little bit of what Dying to Give does.
Right, right. Well, we've only got a couple of more minutes, and I think we probably could have easily done an hour show. The time's just kind of gotten away. But tell me, what is next for you? Are you going to write another book?
Well, yes. I just want to keep chugging along here. I've got 4 different stories I'm considering. One's a medical drama, one's an action thriller, one's a comedy, one's a sort of survival story. So over the holidays, I'll make a decision and jump into one of them on January 3rd. I'm specific about that. It's not going to be the second because I think on the second the college football playoff games will be on my mind. So stay tuned and check
all
your
right.
web, GaryBShelley.com, for further info as things move along.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Gary.
Well, my pleasure, Sheila. It really was, and I appreciate the invite. And I hope that folks who hear this will consider going to DonateLife.com or .net. Excuse me, DonateLife.net, and we'll have this become a topic of conversation among themselves and their friends, and talk about it, dispute it, argue about it, agree with it, whatever the case may be, but have it be something that's on their minds.
Right. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. If you missed any part of this or if you decide you have a question or you want to make a comment, you can check tomorrow morning, readersentertainment.com. We'll have the podcast up and an opportunity for you to comment. Stop by and leave a comment, leave a question. I'll make sure Gary gets that. I'm Sheila English, your host. And happy
this
reading, everyone.
Brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.